All right, back at it here on The Fan. It is Jonathan Peterlin here with you guys, and I'm with you for the rest of the way solo. So if you want to get involved, 216-474-0092 is how you get involved. But I thought it was fascinating talking with Chris Jimenez there because, yes, Chris works for Guardians TV. He's going to have a shinier picture than most. I don't know that I would have gone so far as giving the front office credit in this situation, but I do find it interesting that they knew something was up and then decided to still play Emmanuel Clase and still go down that road. Now, obviously, baseball stepped in and it was what it was. I don't know how much credit you want to give them for not trading a guy. I think it's a classy move, but if you traded him and then were left holding the bag, isn't the obvious conclusion there that if another team was left holding the bag, that they would just never do dealing with you ever again? Or they just never would make a trade with you? That seems to be the obvious next step there. So it never would have benefited Antonetti or Chernoff. It would have pissed off a lot of people in the process, and ultimately it wouldn't have made any sense. But that layer to it might be what ends up costing Antonetti and Chernoff their job when this is all said and done. What I mean by that is Emmanuel Clase was awesome leading up into this. There's no denying it. He had logged a 1.10 ERA since May 1st. The man had been getting the job done. But what they had to weigh in their minds and what they had to weigh out, do we pitch Clase when we need him the most? We're in a division battle. We're in a wild card battle. Call it whatever you want. We're in a battle for the playoffs this little stretch here. We need to win as many games as we can to decide if we're going to be a fire sailing team or a team that goes ahead and makes a move to acquire better assets and actually compete with guys, acquire guys that can help this year. So they had to decide what they wanted to do and who they wanted to be. And over the weekend, they played Clase a ton. He kept going out there. He kept pitching. And so the part that I find fascinating is, and this goes to Stephen Vogt the same way because I saw quotes from him as well. They had to weigh out how much ignorance they could have in this whole entire ordeal versus what the actual outcome was going to end up being. They knew something wasn't on the up and up. They knew something wasn't right, as evidenced by the idea that they weren't going to go ahead and just trade Emmanuel Clase. Because if they didn't know anything, then they could have traded him a week ago, gotten the best value for him, and it was what it was. They didn't. They knew something was up. They knew he was all of a sudden untouchable. And if you want to go back as far as some of the Ken Rosenthal reports and some of the other reports we've had over the previous couple weeks, you can make an argument they've known for a little bit here. What they ended up doing is fascinating, though, because it shows a sense of we're going to try to win as many games as we can, and we'll wait for baseball to dole out the punishments while knowing that something was coming. It just feels like you're a little bit misled. It feels like you're a little bit just kind of not being told 100% the truth, but we got here. And so I brought up Clase logging the 1.10 ERA. I did that twice now since May 1st. And what I think is interesting about that is that if you put it with Ortiz, who in his last seven starts before being popped had pitched 39 innings, had a 2.77 ERA, 1.30 whip, had basically been awesome throughout that stretch, is that this is the type of gambling that if the Guardians knew something was going on, it clearly didn't impact whether or not they wanted to throw Emmanuel Clase or Ortiz into the mix. That is the part that I find to be wildly fascinating out of the whole ordeal. Because it almost falls in the bucket of what Pete Rose eventually got caught for, which was gambling, but gambling on his own team. We don't look as hard on that. We don't look as hard when we feel like you're rooting for the squad. But if the Guardians believed in Clase enough to throw him out in three games from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because they believed that he could impact the game in a positive way, whether he was intentionally throwing ball ones to start off the inning or not, it's an interesting footnote to the whole discussion. And I do think it's something that baseball's got to look at when they ultimately come down with the punishment. Now, this is the first instances of this type of prop bet happening, okay? We've had other situations before, and we've had other players that have been banned for life, right? Like Tucapita Marcano, the San Diego Padres infielder that was banned for life for betting on his own team. You bet on your own team. You can't do that in baseball. It's done. The league suspended four other players for a year for betting on baseball. In those instances, it was all on just outcomes, right? MLB umpire Pat Hoberg fired earlier this year after it was learned that he shared sports betting accounts with a friend who bet on baseball games. But these are all betting on baseball games, right? Like the A's pitcher, Michael Kelly. June 4th of last year, he gets popped for betting just under $100 on baseball. The bets were made back when he was playing in the minor leagues. He was betting on outcomes of games. You know, we've seen Calvin Ridley. We've seen Jameson Williams, who got six games reduced to four. Jameson was betting on college football games a little bit differently. Calvin Ridley betting on games. Jonte Porter, banned for life. That goes into the prop bet territory that we're talking about. But as far as baseball is concerned, and the majority of these betting situations and scandals that we've talked about, they've all been under the guise of, we're betting on the games. And I think that's an important footnote in all of this. Even with the Jonte Porter part that's different, Jonte Porter betting on individual prop lines is much different than the impact that Class A and Ortiz had. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm defending him. And I want your input, 216-474-0092. How high to the top should this go, and what should baseball do about this? I don't want to make it seem like I'm defending him, because I'm not. Baseball's got a rule with an iron fist when it comes to any sort of betting. That's just how this works. They're not going to have a choice or an excuse or an out. But when we talk about Ortiz and Class A and how many more people this might actually extend out to, I think it's interesting that we talk about it in the proper context. This isn't gambling to me. Like I joked earlier with G. Bush, I got a buddy of mine who always says, I don't go gambling, I go winning. When you're gambling on outcomes of games, that's gambling. What Class A and what Ortiz was doing, that's not gambling to me. That is understanding I'm going to throw a ball, I'm not going to impact the game in any sort of meaningful way, and I'm going to cash my checks. And I think that's the difference here. It doesn't mean baseball is going to go any more lenient on them. You bet on the game, whether it's a prop bet or whether it's not. Now, the stupid part about all this is that they weren't aware enough to understand that you can't bet on baseball in any sort of capacity. You just can't. You're going to end up like the Alabama baseball coach, that if you bet any sort of amount, the Alabama baseball coach, I think it was like $100,000 that he ended up gambling in order to try to win just a game where he rigged the starting pitcher and who was going to be able to play in that game. Like, all right, you tanked a game. It's not great. You obviously got punished for it, as you should. But the end result was that the only reason why people paid attention was because it was worth $100,000 to Vegas's pocket. I wonder if we're going to have this same type of situation here, where the only reason why baseball caught on is because it wasn't that it was done in three different states, in New Jersey, Ohio, and New York, like first reported with Ortiz. They get caught because it's $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for these players on one-pitch outcomes. It's too much money on a one-pitch outcome. That's how it gets flagged. Now, again, you got to make it worth your while, right? That's the whole point of all this. I would bet you guys in a gambling segment, and why you probably shouldn't be gambling, I'm going to make a wager with you guys, and I understand the irony there. I would bet that Ortiz and Class A could make $100 bets on one-pitch outcomes as often as they wanted in the regular season, and nobody would bat an eye. Nobody would even think twice about it, because there's enough degenerates out there that have gotten enough money out there, that have also done enough stupid things when they're down and out, that they have gambled $100 on a first-pitch ball or strike in the top of the third inning. And I know you guys out there are like, I don't believe you. Trust me, it's happened. Not to me personally, although I've made some pretty stupid bets when down and out. So I will file myself in the category. Man, I one time, I don't gamble nearly as much anymore. I just don't. I've realized I just don't win at those things. That's a lot I have in life right now. I'm a pretty good football gambler. Outside of that, you're just rolling the dice is all you're doing. It's all a luck-based thing. I think there's something with football that you can actually figure out. But with baseball, it's too hard. There's too many games, too many variances. It is what it is. But when I've been down and out before, I have bet on Korean baseball games. It's on the app. It's 12 o'clock at night. I'm done gambling for the day, but I want to stay gambling, right? Like we do dumb things. How many of you guys out there will bet on preseason football in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday? Like, yeah, you bet on dumb things. There's enough people out there that will throw $50, $100 on a sporting event at whatever time of the night just because, in their eyes, it's a coin flip venture. Ball or strike, top of the third inning, in game 127 for the Guardians is basically betting heads or tails on a coin. That's all it's doing for people. And so there's enough people out there that will do it. The problem that arises for the Guardians and these Guardians players in Ortiz and Clase, they started dancing with the devil. They got greedy. Greed is the downfall of everyone in life. But they got greedy, and when you get greedy Williams on people, you see what happens. That's how you end up getting caught. Who was the head of the snake, though? We're all assuming Ortiz because he was busted first, but maybe he wasn't, and maybe it goes deeper than just two players. Like, I can't believe nobody stopped to think that they can't play such large wagers on this. It seems impossible, like driving through a car wash and not getting wet. But here we are. Clearly enough of them thought that. But how infested in this locker room does this problem get? Because I would be shocked if this started and ended with Ortiz and Clase, and these were the only two that were working in conjunction with themselves. It would be incredibly fascinating to me to find out what Major League Baseball would do if it turned out there was like 7, 8, or 9 guys on the Guardians, and this was a real problem where they all thought they could get away with it, and turns out they can't. We have like a whole new pitching staff next year because everyone just gets banned from baseball because of this situation. I got another theory on this, but I want to get to your phone calls. 216-474-0092. Don in Cleveland up next. What's up, Don?
How you doing today?
Hey, man. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Yeah, thanks for making it. Go ahead.
I got a couple of comments. I've got motive, and I have to disagree with you. I don't know if you're being facetious when you say it's not gambling. I think this is 50 million times worse than what Pete Rose did, because he is out having an outcome in the game. He's throwing a ball. You only get to throw four balls.
So I'll let you finish, but like, so I am being a little facetious and just kind of doing like it's not gambling, it's winning thing. But like in my mind, yes, obviously it's gambling. You're placing a wager and people are placing wagers for you. It has to be treated as such. But also in the same vein, and this is kind of what I'm getting at, it's not gambling with the idea that I could lose. You know, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Sure.
It's a rigged
I get that part.
It's a rigged dice, if anything, and it's rigged in their favor. So that's where I look at it a little bit differently, where there's not like them sitting on edge being like, is this going to come through? Is this not going to come through?
Gotcha.
No, it's coming through. So, they got it.
So the thing is, you're saying it's the first pitch of an inning. It doesn't affect the outcome of the game, but it can absolutely affect it, because now he has to throw other pitches to get the guy out. And he's really, really good, except for last postseason, which raises another question. What was going on last postseason?
So, right? But isn't that fascinating to you? I don't think the postseason thing last year was any sort of indication of anything. Only because I watched his Instagram lives where he basically cried. Okay,
I'm with you there.
Yeah. So like, but I do think it's interesting that Ortiz, when he left and when he got this slap down, had an ERA under 3 and legitimately had been the best pitcher the Guardians had for the previous 2 months. And then Clase, since May 1st on, had a 1.10 ERA. Like, you can tell me it impacted the games, and I'll hear that and I'll listen to it. But these were two of your best pitchers since May 1st on.
So I have some motive.
All right, what's the motive?
What's the easiest way to give your friends tens of thousands of dollars? You're going to put it in a bag and put it in the back of their car. You can't write them a check. The IRS sees all that stuff, just like these gambling sites see the wagers. Red flags, red flags. What's the easiest way to give your family and friends in a third world country, because they are from one of the poorest countries in the world, what's the easiest way to get them money? Hey, I'm going to make a pitch tonight. Bet all sorts of money on that pitch.
Yeah, no, I could easily see that. And Don, I appreciate you. The part of this that makes it so dumb for these guys is they're costing themselves potentially millions to go ahead and do what you're suggesting and just helping out a buddy. That's why the theory I had earlier, and I really am starting to believe this, is that, and so I explained earlier I worked in restaurants in college, right? And one of the things was that who steals from restaurants? It's like the only people that got caught stealing from restaurants in any scenario, I had a boss teach me this one time, were people that thought they weren't making enough money. The people that thought they weren't being paid the right amount of wages. And it's like, well, who in this scenario would think that they're not being paid accordingly, not being paid the right amount of money? And there go, they feel as if they're almost entitled to do this to baseball. And it'd be Ortiz, who's on a rookie contract, which rookie contracts in baseball are criminally underpaid, and then Emmanuel Clase, who looks at Edwin Diaz making $20 million a year for the Mets, looks at Josh Hader making $19 million a year for the Astros, and thinks, man, am I underpaid in this equation. I'm making $6 million next year, and that's with the pay bump. They gave me the same contract that they gave Miles Straw. I want to hear from you guys on this, though. 216-474-0092. A couple of you guys hanging. If you're hanging, hang tight. We'll get you on the other side. How far does this Class A situation go? And I have a Shador Sanders theory related to Stefanski I want to pass by you guys as well. It's Jonathan Pino, an afternoon drive right here on The Fan.